Chad Olson Show. The Chad Olson Show.
This is the SOS Radio Network. SOS.
From award-winning journalist and author Chad Olson comes the all-new book, Tales from the Red Rooster Cafe. An old man building a ladder to the stars and hiding a deadly secret for his enemies. A social media mogul's last day on Earth and a dire warning for our future. A mysterious salesman offers a housewife a new chance at happiness. Will she leave it all behind for true love? Tales from the Red Rooster Cafe by Chad Olson. One critic writes, if Ray Bradbury and O. Henry had a literary love child, they might write like Chad Olson. Tales from the Red Rooster Cafe. 30 powerfully humanizing short stories in a page-turning portrait of the human heart. Available now at Barnes & Noble, barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com, and at select booksellers near you. Tales from the Red Rooster Cafe by Chad Olson. Your adventure awaits.
Hey, you. That's right, you. Wouldn't you like to know the story of you? What makes you, you? DNA and Me is a genetic service that can help you find out exactly who your ancestors were. You might be surprised.
I thought I was just a standard white guy, but DNA and Me showed that I'm actually 4.2% Cherokee Indian.
Turns out I'm not totally white. I'm also part Northern Asian and even some Kurdish. I'm a victim of oppression.
I used to get in trouble for always using the N-word, but with DNA and Me, I found out that I'm 2.1% black.
Morning, Steve.
Sup, the test is easy. Simply swab the inside of your mouth and send it into our labs.
People made fun of me for being French. DNA and Me showed I was 8% Navajo. Nobody's making fun of me now or my people who are victims.
I'm 13% victim.
I'm 21% victim.
Order now and find out if your friends should be more sympathetic towards you. DNA and Me. Are you in? Hell f***ing yes, I'm in.
The Chad Olson Show. The Chad Olson Show.
What are you doing, Billy?
Oh, nothing. I'm bored with all my toys. I wish I had something new to play with.
How about Mr. Obama's half-baked oven?
Mr. Obama's half-baked oven? That sounds great.
That's right, America. New from Scamco. Mr. Obama's half-baked oven. The toy oven that's twice as much fun because it bakes in half the time. With Mr. Obama's half-baked oven, you'll get half-baked brownies, half-baked cupcakes, and with the new economic and foreign relations settings, you'll get half-baked policies that'll turn anything into a sticky mess.
Isn't that called a quagmire?
That's absolutely right, Billy. Here, we call these our Libyan surprise quagmire cakes.
This tastes doughy and disgusting. Besides, an oven is a girl's toy.
Don't be ridiculous, Billy. With Mr. Obama's half-baked oven, everything comes out according to plan. And because it's only half-baked, there's twice as much for you to swallow.
Gee, a toy like that must be really expensive.
Actually, Billy, that's the very best part. Even though Mr. Obama's half-baked oven is assembled overnight by a team of amateurs, it's still the most expensive toy of all time.
Mister, that sounds like a rip-off. I'd rather have a G.I. Joe.
Oh, I'm sorry, Billy. From now on, Mr. Obama's half-baked oven is the only toy you're allowed to buy. And since we can't pay for it all now, we'll send the bill to your children and grandchildren.
Hey, give me back my piggy bank.
Mr. Obama's half-baked oven. From the makers of Jimmy Carter's Hostage Helper and Herbert Hoover's Invisible Chicken in a Pot.
Mister, that sounds like a rip-off.
The Chad Olson Show. The Chad Olson Show. The Chad Olson Show. Chad Olson Show.
Congratulations to your National Eagle Award. You are most deserving. You are a very courageous man, and you are a hero.
The Chad Olson Show. The Chad Olson Show.
Find today's episode and previous editions of The Chad Olson Show in the podcast page at ChadOlsonShow.com. That's www.ChadOlsonShow.com. Log on now.
Europe, I'm America. There's a growing feeling of hysteria. Conditioned to respond to all the threats. And the rhetorical speeches of the Soviets. Mr.
children too. The Chad Olsen Show.
Today, each of you should stay calm. Stay at home if you can. We are working. The Army is working. The whole sector of defense and security is working. No panic. We are strong. We are ready for everything. We will win over everybody because we are Ukraine.
Jim, you are there this morning witnessing generations of post-World War II order upended.
John, that's right. We wake up this morning to a war in Europe, a deadly one already. Take a moment to consider that. And it unfolded, it began to unfold last night in what you might call a worst case scenario. U.S. intelligence assessments for weeks had been saying that Russia was preparing for a broad scale invasion of this country, beginning with an air campaign and a missile campaign and an artillery campaign. That's exactly what we saw, quickly followed by ground forces.
The first. The shadows.
And Vladimir Putin, in his comments both to the Russians and to the Ukrainian nation prior to the start of the military offensive, came out and openly said, we are in the process. What this operation is to do is to demilitarize, and the other word he used is denazify, the Ukrainian nation. Now, who is it he refers to when he talks about the Nazi regime in the nation of Ukraine? Well, he's referring to what you and I call the deep state. The nation that Joe Biden and Hunter Biden have so richly profited off of, with their ties to Burisma and their manipulation of the energy market and the use of all of this deep state chicanery in order to tilt the economic playing board away from the nation of Russia, but more than that, in their own favor, by dictating industry policies and things that are happening with gas line approvals and all the rest of it inside these energy concerns. In nation states in Eastern Europe that are used as chess pieces on this board to try to hem in Putin and complicate these relationships. George Soros literally, nearly single-handedly took over the nation of Ukraine. And I actually covered this story as part of the mainstream media back when it happened in the year 2014. And you remember all the breathless celebration on the part of demo-communists in America about the nature of what this takeover meant, that they desperately tried to cast as a democratic uprising for freedom and liberty in Ukraine, but that was actually about the International Monetary Fund getting their hooks and their claws firmly wrapped up around that nation, pulling them into the fold, and then allowing Ukraine to become this listening outpost for the CIA and a beta testing ground for the same kind of social uprising that we saw in the streets of the United States throughout the Trump presidency. George Soros' black bloc, things like Antifa and BLM, these operations and the way that they were used, the street warfare was used as political theater to destabilize the previous government of the nation of Ukraine. These are exactly the operation that we saw running during George Soros' summer of rage in the summer of 2020, when they're burning the American inner cities, demanding the defunding of police and all the rest of it. This is a stronghold spiritually, from an intelligence standpoint, monetarily and otherwise. They've literally been shipping American foreign aid into Ukraine for kickbacks to the American political elite, including Joe Biden and his family, Nancy Pelosi and her family, Paul Pelosi. Their sins are absolutely blowing in the wind like dirty underwear out on the laundry line. And this is the reason for the saber rattling. This is the reason they've been trying to convince every red-blooded American that you're not a real American unless you're cheering for us to help enforce the integrity and the sacrosanctity of Ukrainian borders, even as American borders are left wide open to whatever consequence that means for the American people, not the least of which is the importation of Democrat voters so that they can install single-party demo-communist rule in the United States. Now, all of this, it gets intricate. There are multiple layers. Everything turns in on itself, but you have to realize we have literally turned the satellite states, former Soviet satellite states, into a
bioweapons playground for the cultivation of some of the nastiest bugs on the planet, and maybe as opportunity for an oopsie moment, exactly like the one that we saw in Wuhan with the release of COVID-19, the Ralph Baric superbug out of the Wuhan laboratory there, the People's Liberation Army bioweapons laboratory, in what amounts to a double crossing of China and an infliction on China as well as the rest of the world through the deployment of that weapon for economic objective and for the rigging of the 2020 presidential election here at home. Now, Vladimir Putin and Russia and China have put their collective hands together, and the nation of India as well, and they've come to the conclusion this is United States intelligence agencies using very sophisticated economic warfare for the destabilization, demoralization, the impoverishment of emerging economies who are hit disproportionately with these kinds of effects. For the installation of the Klaus Schwab World Economic Forum model, none of those nations want anything to do with what Klaus Schwab and the green globalists and their idiotic idea of doing away with fossil fuels. It's going to literally starve hundreds of millions of people around the world just for openers. That's even without the additional deployment of any of these other demon toys out of the toy boxes that they've created, these BSL-4 bioweapons laboratories in places like Georgia, Tbilisi. Let's talk more about what the Russians have said about that laboratory. Russian government, again, reading from this Newsweek article, April 29th, dated April 29th of 2020, the Russian government and its allies and certain media organizations have frequently complained about the Tbilisi virological facility, claiming that the staff there conduct dangerous bioweapon tests and use unwitting human subjects for that testing. The Luger Center, as it is called, there in Tbilisi, has been subject to international inspection. There is no, quote-unquote, there is no evidence the facility develops biological weapons. Well, what is this in this conversation? It's a very artful, semantical dodge about what, in the same way that Anthony Fauci wouldn't cop to the fact of gain-of-function research in Wuhan or anywhere else at the behest of the NIH, this plausible deniability that they infuse using their mouthpieces in the media, the propagandist Mockingbird Press, to make these sorts of claims when exactly what is being done. Gain-of-function is deliberately the creation of things that can be used as bioweaponry of varying strengths, virulence, and intensity, anytime that the deep state decides they want to deploy these for whatever objective they see fit. So Newsweek can say that there was no evidence of bioweapon development, but if you're in the business of gain-of-function research in these BSL labs and you're stockpiling things like smallpox, Ebola, and you heard the director of that facility admit it, What do they have at that facility? Let's roll that back again and listen to him as he talks about what it is that they have stockpiled in that laboratory. First he makes a denial, and then he makes an admission about the bugs, the little virological nasties that they're keeping at that Luger Virological Center in Tbilisi, Georgia.
But we are not making Zika virus in this laboratory.
To kill mosquitoes?
But the laboratory is... The level of the laboratory is so high that we can diagnose here the Zika, Ebola, Crimea, Congo, and many, many infection diseases.
So he says right there that the safety of the laboratory is so very, very high that they're able to, quote, diagnose those viruses he named right there, including Ebola, Ebola Zaire, Ebola Congo, these viruses. They cannot diagnose those unless they have a comparative strain and the actual protein genomics to be able to make a comparison between the phylogenetics of the respective viruses. And that means that's an open admission that they're stockpiling those viruses in the facility. This gets complex, but this is the reason. We're putting the flesh on the bones of what it is that Russia is doing and the reason for what Vladimir Putin is calling the demilitarization of Ukraine and the denazification of Ukraine as part of this operation. Let's hear more from the this report, this airing on international television. What's the, you have the date of that that publication. It doesn't show up there. We'll find the exact date of broadcast and share it as we go through. But this stuff has been reported repeatedly in international press, but obviously and understandably, it's been obfuscated and washed from existence by the American mainstream press.
No killer mosquitoes.
We are not making these viruses here.
No marmorated stink bug coming from the Luga laboratory.
What?
The marmorated stink bug.
No.
I'm not a scientist, but what I have been seeing here suggests that this laboratory is exactly what the Georgian government says it is. But the Russian claims that what's going on at the Luga lab is far more sinister haven't been supported by any hard evidence.
Facebook investigators made the startling claim that Georgia's governing party had adopted Russian-style disinformation to discredit its opponents. Facebook shut down dozens of fake news accounts and pages. Government officials deny the allegations, but fact-checking organizations say political groups in Georgia increasingly employ such tactics.
And so you see this information warfare going back and forth, east to west, deep state versus the free peoples of the world. This is the pattern. It is so sad to realize that we're actually on the wrong side of history in the United States, that's become the flagship for the deep state and for the global effort to impoverish the rest of the planet in the economic reset that other nations don't want to have anything to do with. Russia just wants the ability of self-determination and to continue their own policy and to actually work in the best interests of what they believe is best for the Russian people. So strange to see an administration on any level working in the best interest and in the defense of their nation. So foreign to see that. It's part of the reason that they hate Vladimir Putin and everything that he stands for and the way that he stands for it, whether he's wearing a shirt or not. Chad Olson Show, SOS Radio Network.
Targets hit with cruise and ballistic missiles in Kyiv, the capital, in and around Kyiv, the capital, in Mariupol, in the south, and in the northeast of the country, in Kharkiv, hit by artillery barrages. And very quickly after that, that effort to, in effect, soften the battlefield, as well as strike military targets to disable, attempt to disable the Ukrainian military, came the ground forces across the border, including armor. And it's interesting, you showed those pictures earlier of tanks rolling along the highway from north of the country in Belarus here into Ukraine. We had a lot of talk early on about how the weather would cooperate. Would the ground be frozen enough in the east for those tanks not to get bogged down in the mud? What did...
This is the SOS Radio Network. SOS.